Good morning, good morning, good morning, and thank you for joining me on another episode of the Roundtable Talk Show. I am your host, Sharifa Hardy, and guess what? I know you didn't expect this, but I have an amazing show for you today. Every show we do is amazing. We laugh, we learn. It's a wonderful place, not only for entrepreneurs and business owners, but people who just have a knack for learning. So I'm going to ask you to do what I always ask you to do, and that is to go out and be an evangelist for the Roundtable Talk Show. I'm sure there's someone in your house, in your neighborhood, across the country. I don't know. They're probably sleeping peacefully right now, but we need you to wake them up because they need to learn this information. So once you wake them up, I'll introduce the guest and we'll start today's show. Our first guest, you have seen her here before. Not only have you seen her here before, but you have seen her here just about every week for the last couple of months. I don't know, but this young lady does promotion well. She comes on, she promotes her book, and her book is in pre-sale, right? So she thought ahead. She didn't wait to 8 months until her book was released to come on the show and talk about her book. She said, Sharifa, I want this information to go out so I can help people, and I'm going to be a guest on your show, Miss Leslie Hooper. Leslie is the founder and owner of Peer Hopes. She is a life coach and certified in Texas as a peer specialist and supervisor. And she had a journey to get here to this place. She had ups and downs and merry-go-rounds. She has also been in hospitals and psych clinics since she can remember. Good morning, Leslie. How are you?
Good morning, Sharifa. I'm wonderful. It's good to see you as always.
I love your, I got confused because like 5 seconds ago, I was seeing books and now you have an amazing backdrop. I just noticed that.
It's something I created last week. I said, you know, I didn't want the chaos to always be seen behind me. I needed some organization. So I created the backdrop. You know, it's got Peer Hopes on there now, so people can find out more about us and the nonprofit that's being started to help people with mental health get support from those of us that have walked the walk before and have learned the different tools of the trade to be in recovery with mental health and move forward and live the life that we love, not just survive, but love. Amazing things are happening.
Well, I will say this. Kudos to you for an amazing journey, amazing backdrop. I love your progress. But I want to ask you, Leslie, when you say a life that you love, what point do you get to and say, you know what? I just love my life now.
Well, I think that's different for each person. For me, it was a process of over many years of learning to heal and get out of the dark hole that I was in. There's no way to really describe the darkness that I was in. And climbing up out of it, and it had people, peers like me, who got in that hole with me and said, come on, we're going to work through it and we're going to find the way out. We've been here before. And they offered me hope. And then I started learning that I had hope in me. And then once that grew, then I started loving me. And the more I loved me, the more I could start loving life. And so eventually it was just like, you know what? I do love life. I want to be here. I want to help others to get to the same spot. But it was a process. I had to learn how to live and not just survive. And realize that, you know, I wasn't a victim anymore. I wasn't going to allow the abuse that I went through, the dark turns that I took by choice myself to keep going through. I was going to start living to be a productive member of society.
I think that's wonderful. And I love the peer, because like we talked about on past shows, in high school, I was a peer counselor. So I love the idea of sitting down with people on your same level, people who are going through basically the same experience and discussing it. But also the most important thing is the hope. You know, when I ran for Long Beach City Council and I'm getting ready to run for Senate, my message was always, before you can fix anything, before you can fix homelessness, before you can fix creating jobs, making this, you know, diversity, equity, inclusion, you have to give people hope. Because if a person doesn't have hope, then what happens is they repeat that cycle and they go right back to where they were. How do you give a person hope?
Well, we got to start out by seeing what those immediate needs are. Because if I'm going in and I'm saying, I want to change your life, but you're worried more about the next meal, then I can't do anything to help you start changing your life until I make sure you've got that next meal. So if I can meet you on the small steps and take you through the small things and build on those first, then we can start working towards the rest.
And your book is coming out.
Yes, so it is actually coming out February 14th.
Yeah,
And I'm,
Valentine's Day. Little love there.
I'm single, so I decided I was going to give myself something, and that was the release of my book.
Congratulations.
A Girl Named Yo-Yo, The Ups and Downs and Merry-Go-Rounds of Mental Health, and it's been quite the journey to get to this point. And y'all, this is not a book that just tells you my life story. It does that. But what makes it so different than any book out there is I spend most of my time in the book telling you about the different tools that I learned, like catch it, check it, change it, how to catch a bad thought and change it to something positive, the different forms of journaling that I tried, breathing techniques that I use. I spend most of the time talking about those different tools of recovery and mental health than I do telling you about my journey. The journey's just there so you know that I've been there, done that.
I like that. Leslie, I'm going to come back to you. I want to go ahead and introduce another guest. And our next guest has also been here before. And one of the reasons why I love returning guests is not only that they keep my seats full so I don't have to do all the work, but I get to learn their journey. One day they might be like Leslie getting ready to launch the book. 4 months later, they might have released the book, and we get to talk about how that's coming up. And then maybe they come back and we talk about their next book. So this guest, our next guest, Ms. Dawn Landry. She's the best-selling author and she's the founder of Authenticity in February in 2017. As an independent business growth strategist to confidentially assist individuals and organizations with customized programs designed to advance their leadership and management proficiencies, team cohesiveness, and business development outreach effectiveness. Leveraging Gallup CliftonStrengths certification and prior hands-on corporate executive experience, Authenticity provides consulting, training, and coaching services that optimize technical teams by maximizing their engagement and productivity to drive performance and realize the organization's vision. Good morning and welcome back, Dawn.
Good morning, Sharifa. I want to start by complimenting Leslie, just in terms of having the foresight to start promoting her book way in advance. I didn't, and so it's a lesson learned because I released Armored in on October 1st of last year. And I will tell you, I'm looking forward to it for you, Leslie, when you actually have it. I don't know if you have it in your hands right now, but having not have it birthed a baby, I could not have been prouder if I actually did birth my book. But you know, I was waiting for the UPS man. I was tracking like two stops, one stop. It's on my front porch, and I met him there, and I was just so excited about it. So it's been an amazing journey, and I love talking to other authors because it's just an experience like none other overall. So since I've talked to you, Sharifa, in November, I have sold almost 1,000 books. It
Oh,
hit
wow.
bestseller. I've had lots of opportunities in terms of promotion, at this point, and I have future opportunities also. You know, releasing a book in the middle of a pandemic is not always ideal. However, it's been an amazing journey. I actually see a second life once we actually get to the other side of the pandemic. Armored, and I have a shameless plug here. Here's a copy of the book. It's a personal story about the life challenges. We all have strengths that we're wired, that we're born with, and then we accumulate all through the years as we grow up. And Armored was written to talk about the life challenges specific to a health battle. Guy gave me this incredible man, this life partner that he's been my friend for 25 years. Unfortunately, he's had three major health battles, including stage 4 cancer and a stroke at 48 years old. And so the things that I've learned along the way, I captured to help other people within the book. And, you know, I've had this very successful consulting business for 4 years. I spent my entire career in the business development, very much business to business type of space, working with technical teams. And then I wrote this book that actually I'm very transparent because I really feel that's the only way that you can be when you write a book. But in my mind, I spent like the fall trying to justify how do I justify Armored with authenticity, my business? And it was in the quiet space of the holidays that it all kind of came together for me. I was saying all along that the crisis management skills that I learned and the logic and organizational skills that I have from a business standpoint actually helped me on the personal side get through our life challenges. But in actuality, and it did, don't get me wrong, but in actuality, the personal aspects of all of the things that we've gone through, you know, speaking for my husband when he completely was not able to speak or was 100% paralyzed on his right side and everything else, that all made me not only a better human being, but it made me a better business professional, a better communicator, more, you know, in there in terms of being present and listening overall.
Wow, you've had an incredible journey. Thank you for sharing. I want to go back to some of the lessons that you learned, because I'm 45 now, my memory is not what it used to be. But if I remember your initial interview, part of what you discussed was how you had to adjust and change your life in order to work with your husband and some of the lessons you learned through that process.
Yeah, it's just leveraging the things that you're already there. My whole mentality is no matter how old you are, you could be 72 years old or you could be, you know, 30 years old, which is what happened in his first battle. You need to get ready for it overall because it can happen. Your life can change on a dime. I talked to him a half an hour before his stroke. He was completely fine. And then all of a sudden he was completely incommunicative. So we had a medical, you know, power of attorney. I was the executor on the will if something happened, but there were little things that we weren't prepared for. Like I didn't know any of his usernames and passwords. 2 weeks before his stroke, I had gone to this luncheon. I'm in Houston. And so I had gone to this luncheon. The only reason why I was there is that I was there helping a friend, supporting a friend who was supporting a friend, basically. And the gist of the luncheon that I got was there's a financial planner. I have my own financial planner. I didn't need to go there. But this person said, "Do you know the usernames of your loved ones?" And in my head, I thought, you know, he knows where mine are, but I don't think I know where all of his are. And so it was a fleeting thought, in one ear, out the other. We were completely healthy. I had no reason to try to collect it. 2 weeks later, I couldn't even get into his phone. And in a stressful situation, trying to remap all of that is really, really hard. And so that's just one of the things that I've learned along the way, but it's also about leveraging your network, customizing your ask. People want, you know, we are get or done, high achiever kind of people. And so being able to just kind of extract your ego and let other people help you, and they're not only helping you for you, don't get me wrong, they want to help you, but they want to be a part of your journey. And if you can allow them in to do those little things, it actually will help you all along the way. And it blesses them to be a blessing to you.
Yes. Thank you, Dawn. I'm going to come back to you, Dawn. Absolutely. I'm going to go ahead and introduce Ms. Cheryl McColgan. Cheryl is going to discuss heal, nourish, grow, and ultimate wellness, advanced nutrition, and healthy lifestyle site. Her intention is to share her experience and insight through unique content that will help you transform and live your best life. What she's learned over years of experimenting with nutrition, yoga, fitness, Self-exploration, psychology, meditation, and creativity will inspire you to lead a healthier, more fulfilling, and most importantly, fun life. Good morning, Cheryl. How are you?
Good morning, Sharifa. I'm great. How are you doing?
I'm excited to have you here.
Yeah, I'm excited to be here in the company of these lovely Dawn and Leslie that have already been on the show before. And some of the things that they're saying is already resonating with me and what I do so much. Excited to share about Heal, Nourish, Grow. As you already mentioned, it's my website. It's my passion. I've spent years just self-studying with nutrition, yoga, all these techniques that really just help people in stressful times, which is what a lot of us are going through right now. Is there a particular one of those things that sounds of interest to anybody that we want to talk about more? Because I could just, go on.
I got questions. I just want to let you talk about what you want to talk about first, and then I'll talk about what I want to talk about. But I'll ask a question to be fair. Why did you launch the website?
Well, it actually started, I had this concept years ago. And if I look back at when I bought the domain name, I believe it was like 8 or 9 years ago at this point. But I didn't do it then. I was in a corporate job. I was stressed out. I was traveling all over the world producing tech conferences. And so it took me a while before I could decide that I wanted to go with my passion finally. And what sent me over the edge was a day at work where we had a major problem with an event overseas, and it wasn't handled the way that I would have handled it. But the long story short of it is that kind of day was a revelation for me that I need to let this go and I need to do what I'm passionate about and create content that's inspiring and helps people and that's healthy and happy, rather than all of this sort of this very heavy corporate, things that are a necessity for sure, but it just wasn't where my heart was. And so that's how kind of Heal, Nourish, Grow came to be. And so finally, after I had purchased this and had this idea years and years ago, now it's going to be about, I think, 3 years ago this summer that I actually launched the site and started working on it full time. That's kind of how it happened. I just kind of had a day where I was like, okay, I'm done with this.
I think you left out some of the drama, Cheryl. I know it was some drama on that day. You were just like, forget bridges. forget this job, but what did you do? Seriously, did you go home and start building the website and kind of work towards the change?
Yeah, absolutely. I did take about a month off to just kind of decompress and take care of my health because I was not doing very well in those months leading up to that. Just a lot of stress and a lot of, I've always, for my whole life, adult life, pretty much had very healthy behaviors and I was continuing those, but the stress was so overwhelming that I wasn't doing enough, basically, I guess, to take care of my health. And one of the things you actually mentioned, being 45 coming up, I'm actually getting ready to turn 48. And one of the things that I was noticing, and I knew this from my psychology training, is just that with natural aging, some decline in mental function comes, and it's natural and normal, but there are a lot of things that we can do to fight that. And so that's one of the things that I really started to focus on, because that level of stress had made it more apparent to me that I wasn't quite as on point and stuff as I had been in the past. And so that's when I had started to also focus more on a different type of nutrition, which is, it's pretty trendy now and pretty much everybody's heard of it at this point, but keto, the keto diet, if you've heard that, I'd be surprised if you haven't at this point. But I started going low carb about 5 years ago, and then now I've been fully keto for 4 years. So obviously a long time experimenting that, but one of the main things that I have observed and I've noticed in myself, and my husband has said the same thing. He's actually a little older. He's going to be 54 next year, I believe. But that our mental functioning is just so much stronger now that we have ditched the carbs and the sugar, because your brain actually uses ketones as a preferred fuel. And so it just helps with your memory, with performance, with focus, all of those things. So it's really been quite an amazing transformation for both of us, and something that now I'm able to share with others and help them on their road to feeling better and having better health.
So I just want to ask you, because I always share this experience, and one of the reasons why I always wanted to work remotely or virtually or work from home, whatever you want to call it, is because I've worked at companies where there was no food in the building. There was nowhere to go to sit down and eat. All they had was vending machines. And with that being bad enough, there was no food within walking distance. The nearest food restaurant, or that's not even what it was, but the nearest place was McDonald's, which was literally four blocks away. So you had a 30-minute lunch. So you have this stress of needing to eat, wanting to eat, but you don't have enough time. So when you say stressed and working in the corporate world, for me, it was, I want to be at home. I want to be able to eat when I wanted to eat. I want to be able to take a break. I want to be able to make sure that I was doing self-care for me and not just making the CEO a billionaire. What was it for you?
Of the working from home. Well, the thing is, for me, is I've worked from home from probably like the last 10 or 15 years. I had an e-commerce site back before there was Shopify or all these easy carts and everything. I believe I started that business in 2005. So I've worked from home for a really long time. And even that corporate job, we were an all remote team. So for the last 5 years of my professional life, we had all corporate teams. So that's just what I was used to. And it certainly does, you know, make things easier to be able to eat healthier or to prepare things at home so that you don't have to, you know, run to McDonald's during your lunch break that's only half an hour. And the other thing that's quite interesting is another passion of mine is fasting for health and wellness purposes. And we can talk more about that. A lot of people think it's really like kind of crazy or out there, but actually what happens when you start eating less processed food, you get this more even blood sugar. So instead of getting the hangries where you go up and down all day, right? Like you eat something and then you crash 2 hours later and then you've got to eat again because you're just have these hormones that are telling you that you're hungry. What happens when you eat a low carb lifestyle is all of those bumps go away. So your blood sugar is even all day. You don't have those hangry times. So you can actually quite easily skip a meal because you don't even feel hungry. So that's also another benefit is you're not like a prisoner to food. It's quite freeing and it's really exciting when you make that change because I was definitely one of those people where I was hangry if I didn't eat every few hours, you know? And so having that change has really just been quite amazing.
Very interesting. I have more questions. I'll come back to you, Cheryl. I want to go ahead and introduce our next guest, Mr. Keith L. Brown. Keith is the Presidential Lifetime Achievement Award recipient, and he's known nationally and globally as Mr. I'm Possible. He's a professional speaker, author, trainer, coach, and director of external affairs in the Georgia Senate. He's the author of Talk is Expensive, Communicating Effectively to Expand Your Impact, Influence, and Income, is a frequent guest on nationally syndicated radio and many locals, as well as contributing writer on career advancement, education, social justice, and entrepreneurship. Good morning, Keith. How are you?
Good morning, significant Sharifa, Senator
Hardin. Where did you get that from?
I need you to understand that S is for significant, the H is for helpful, the A is for advocate, the R is for respectful, the I is for innovator, the F is for fantastic, the A is for amazing, and the H is for helper. And so you encompass all of that in your name. And when I came on this morning, that was very important to me because how we greet individuals can help determine how the remainder of their day goes, how the remainder of their week goes. And so to have creative Cheryl on, to have diligent Dawn, to have leading Leslie on, and to be with significant Sharifa, it is an honor for me. It is an honor for me. And so just the way in which you greet an individual can take them from impossible to I'm possible. And so, yes, I'm known nationally and internationally as Mr. I'm Possible, but in my life, it wasn't always I'm possible. There were times when it was impossible. I was labeled special ed and at risk all of my life. Those were impossible times, but I had a strong support system of family members, teachers and counselors and mentors who helped take me from impossible to I'm possible. My wife and I lost two babies, but we have an awesome, yes, but we have an awesome 25-year-old son who also works in the Georgia Senate. He's a graduate of the Savannah State University and HBCU. His name is Keon J. Brown. And the loss of two babies was the impossible, but Keon is the manifestation of the I'm possible. My wife is an elementary school principal. And of course, they're working virtually now. And so imagine the caretaker she has to be for her leaders, her teachers and parents and the community. Some of that is the impossible, but her love and nurturing spirit is the impossible. my beautiful mother, who is with us as we are co-caretakers for my mother who's battling Alzheimer's. The Alzheimer's is the impossible, but nurturing her and loving her is the impossible. And so in spite of all of the obstacles and challenges in our life that put us in the impossible mode, there is still impossible when we are still breathing and we still have hope. And with the hope that we have, we can still go from impossible to impossible. Yes, we are facing a global pandemic called COVID-19, but I want all of your viewers today to understand that the pandemic cannot paralyze your purpose, that the pandemic cannot diminish your destiny. So in my family, we are staying prayed up, we are staying masked up, and we are staying lifted up. So let me give that to you again. We are staying prayed up, we are staying masked up, and we are staying lifted up, even in the midst of the global pandemic called COVID-19, global pandemic called systemic racism. We have so many global pandemics that we are facing, but we still know that we can go from impossible to impossible. And I just believe it starts with a greeting. Everybody deserves a good morning. Everybody deserves a positive word. And that's what led me to write this book, Talk is Expensive. Yes, talk is expensive. All of our lives, significant Sharifa, what have we heard all of our lives? All of our lives, we've heard
talk is cheap.
Yes, talk is cheap. But this is the reality. Talk is not cheap, it's expensive. It has been said that actions speak louder than words, but it's the words that move people to action. And so in the book, Talk is Expensive, I go ahead and change the paradigm because talk is very expensive. On January the 6th, we saw how some negative talk led to the overtaking of the United States Capitol. It did not start with action. It actually started with the words of a few individuals who were able to move an entire crowd to negative action. And so we have to keep in mind, once again, actions may speak louder than words, but it's always the words that move people to action. So we have to be very careful about talk because talk is definitely expensive.
Okay, so where I need to go to tune into you on a regular basis? What I need to watch? Facebook, what?
Well, actually, when I come back to Sharifa's show, right? The round table, you can hear me, but I'm often on syndicated radio. I do a lot of programs on my Instagram, which is Keith L. Brown_, and your viewers can go to my Instagram on Keith L. Brown_, and they can just plug into those videos where I inspire educators and pupils and parents and corporate America and government officials and just the planet as a whole, just the planet. People always ask me, they say, well, Mr. Impossible, what is your niche? What is your niche audience? What's your market? And the answer is always people. It's universal. Yes, I do a lot of work in schools and colleges and universities across the country, but I also do a lot of work in government circles and political circles. I also do a lot of work in corporate America. I also do a lot of work with educational and social justice. And so the impossibilities is all about universal uplift, universal love. I am a unifier. I'm a unifier, and I'm very, very cognizant that my talk is very essential to my purpose, because here's the danger of what I do. Here's the danger of what you do. Here's the danger of what anyone does who is a communicator. The danger is people will believe you. That's the danger, that people will believe you. And if you're putting out false information, or you're just doing it for publicity, or if you're just doing it for a show, you're gonna be held accountable. What I do is from the heart. What I do is from the heart. So I speak from the heart. I speak real, raw messages to take people from impossible to impossible. And see, that's the danger, that people will believe you. So I always tell my clients that I coach at the Impossible Institute, I always let them know, yes, you want to definitely improve your income. But at the end of the day, before you improve your income, you need to focus on your impact and your influence, because that's going to be the greatest asset that you can be to the planet. Your impact on the lives of others, your influence on the lives of others. When you can take an individual and take that individual and positively affect his or her life, when that individual's life has been infected, all of their lives, if you can positively affect them, then that is the greatest asset. That is your greatest gift. And so I want to encourage all, yes. And I want to encourage all of your viewers out there, stop writing down 2021 as 2021. Let this be the last day you write down 2021. Let it be 2021. 2021. There is a mindset that has to.
I love it. You got some good stuff coming in there. The 2021. I like that. I like talk is expensive, because one of the things that I often say is, I'm hearing feedback, I don't know why, but one of the things that I often say is that people talk themselves out of blessings. You know, sometimes they start talking and they don't even realize that if they would be more happy or more positive or whatever the situation is, they would have received blessings, and they don't even know because they've talked themselves out of those blessings. So I definitely hear what you're saying and agree. Talk is expensive. Leslie, what did you think? Our guest.
Oh, what a great group we have today. I am really, really excited about this, you know, and talk, he's right, is expensive. I'm constantly telling myself to put things through filters so that way I'm just not talking to hear my own voice, but what I'm saying is actually something that's going to be impactful to those who are around, and even sometimes it catches me and it's impactful to myself. You know, have you ever had one of those moments, Sharifa, where you say something and you're like, where'd that come from?
My problem is that I need to stop doing that, because I'd be like, Sharifa, this was some good stuff you came up with. I'm at a girl, you know, I'm used to patting myself on the back. Dawn, have you had that experience?
I do. But here's the thing, especially as we are in, like, we're about 6 weeks away from 1 year when all of this mess started, right? And it's a marathon, not a sprint. And so at the beginning, I was rallying. You know, Keith, I was like you. I was like, woo. And then as the months have come in, and I mean, I don't know about you guys, we don't even bring in takeout food because my husband is immune compromised. So we are on lockdown. And this is amount of.
What do you outside, eat? I'm sorry, I wouldn't know life without takeout. So what do you eat?
Anything that we cook. I mean, so I do go to the grocery store, like usually at 7 o'clock in the morning on a random day when nobody else is there, but nothing that, we do not eat anything that's not been prepared in our own house. And that's a whole other subject, but it's being aware, what are you telling yourself in your own head? And it's catching yourself and making sure, just like Cheryl, just like whatever you put in your mouth, you have to be careful of what are you feeding your own inner thoughts. And sometimes, I think I might have talked about this the last time, Sharifa, I have the drill sergeant and she sits on my shoulder, yes, and she's constantly saying, you need to do this, you need to do this. Sometimes you have to just envision that you're flicking her off of your shoulder, because she's commanding and she's demanding, and you just have to give yourself the grace that you need sometimes, because, you know, to be in this space as long as we've gone through it, you just have to, sometimes you have to rally yourself, but you also have to be aware of what you're feeding yourself as well.
Yes. Keith?
I love that. I love it, because it is important that we understand that our lives have changed. Back in March, no one was concerned about breathing. We just went about our day. I was speaking at a conference, the National Youth at Risk Conference. I remember the first week in March, I remember it vividly. We were all giving high fives. I always have my audiences up, running around, engaged, thousands. We're giving high fives. The next week, the world was turned upside down. Everyone started paying attention to breathing. We started wearing a garment called a mask that we have never worn before. And so you have to understand, after wearing a mask for the last 9-10 months, our breathing patterns have changed. We have to understand that, but I would encourage all of your viewers to continue to wear the mask for your safety and the safety of others. And so, just as Diligent Dawn said, yes, the nutrition part is so very essential. My wife prepares meals for the entire week, so that we don't have to be exposed a lot to the outside world. Virtual learning. Here I am traveling around the world virtually, and speaking to the masses virtually when I was doing that 10 months ago in person. And so, Sharifa, when you talked about virtual learning, that is so very important. And I'm convinced that the same energy and passion that we had before COVID-19, we're going to have to bring that to the virtual platform, because even after the COVID-19 goes away, virtual learning is here to stay. A lot of what we developed during the pandemic, it's not going to go away. And so it does take compassion. It does take unity. It does take civility. It takes all of those things. But I also want to say it takes three words and three terms that I talk about: name it, claim it, and frame it. And I talk about this daily. You have to name it, claim it, and frame it. And when you name it, you basically don't say, I want to be a best-selling author. I am a best-selling author. You don't say, I want to be a talk show host. I am. So you have to name it. You name it. And when you put it out there in the universe, after you name it, then you claim it. And you claim it by doing the work. It's going to take some sweat equity to manifest your goals, your dreams, and your vision. So it's all about the work you put in. It will not work unless you work. And then yes, you frame it. And when you frame it, that means every day you have to frame the type of life you want. So you cannot surround yourself with negative people, because then you are framing depression. You cannot surround yourself with negative thoughts, because then you are framing the impossibilities. So you name it, you claim it, and you frame it. The type of work that you frame, the type of life you want, you have the ability to frame it. Everything down to the people who you allow in your circle, to the thoughts that you think. And I love what Leslie said. You have to filter it. You got to get rid of those negative thoughts immediately. So I say to all of your listeners, name it, claim it, and then frame it, and it will be yours. But do understand, it's not yours for you to be selfish. It's yours so that you can be a servant leader and that you can uplift the masses of human beings. We were all born human, but it takes effort to be humane. We were all born human, but it takes effort to be humane.
Amen. Amen. I feel like the sermon is coming. I love it. I have to tune in more often. Cheryl, what are your thoughts? Are you naming it, claiming it, and framing it?
Well, I am. So Kevin, thank you for that, because I'm naming that I am an award-winning podcaster. It's my podcast is launching in February, and that I'm a best-selling author, which it'll take some sweat equity, as you mentioned. That's already been in the works, but I don't think I've ever said it publicly before. So thank you for that, Kevin.
Congratulations.
One of the things I wanted to follow up on that you all kind of touched on in some way is this link between mental health and physical health, right? Mm-hmm. And what one of the reasons for the podcast and for all the information that I put out in relation to, you know, overall wellness, that includes your nutrition, includes your mental health, includes, you know, being a positive person in the world, which I can tell that all of your guests here are very much like that. But it's that tie between the mental health and the physical health. So one of the stats that is really scary out there right now is that only 18% of Americans are metabolically healthy, or sorry, 12%. So it actually means 88% of Americans are not metabolically healthy. Why is this relevant or something that we should be concerned with right now? Well, it's relevant because people with poor metabolic health have much poorer COVID outcomes. They're finding that all the time, people with obesity or diabetes or heart disease, all of these underlying conditions are really tied to poor COVID outcomes. And unfortunately, we just as a nation are not very healthy, either physically or mentally. Sometimes right now with what's been going on with the lockdown, it is affecting people in ways that I don't even think we know the full impact of yet. But the one thing that I wanted to point out that you said, you know, eating at home right now, it's such an important thing to get a hold. I know it's everybody wants to have the comfort food right now, and we're staying at home too much and we're sad and we reach for the, you know, the comforting carby goodness and sugars, right? But it's really not doing anybody any favors right now to not focus on their health. I mean, you've got to at some point like have that. I always look at it as like the psychology stages of grief, right? Like we have this shock and then we're angry, like we have to wear masks, we have to stay home. And then finally, eventually, the last part of that psychological process is acceptance. And once you get to acceptance, I think it's really important to say, hey, I am going to be proactive and take charge of my health right now because I'm home, I'm cooking. I actually, again, to Kevin, to put out something as a servant in the world, I thought, hey, everybody's staying home. Not everybody's been into cooking and stuff before. I'm going to start a live cook along on Mondays. And so people can go to my website, sign up for that. You get the list of ingredients a few days ahead of time. And then on Mondays, we all cook together. So even if you never cooked before, YouTube, I mean, there's thousands of videos on YouTube about how to cook and The only thing I would caution people against is when you say, if you look for healthy recipes, bear in mind that everyone's definition of healthy is quite different. And a lot of the things that we've been fed over the years, like this healthy whole grains and that saturated fat's bad for you, and then eggs every other week, eggs are good for you, eggs are bad for you. It's like you have to dig on a deep dive to really find out this information for yourself. And so anybody that's interested in this, I would highly encourage you to read the book called Big Fat Surprise by Nina Teichels, because it really goes through the history of our food system, how things got to be where they are. What is our, you know, this my plate and the food pyramid, what is that all based on? Hint, nothing. It's based on no science. So if you can read that book and go through it and take it to heart, you'll start to see why ditching the processed sugar, ditching the breads, ditching the pasta out of your diet is gonna do you a huge service. Not only will you feel better, your brain will be more clear, you'll have more energy, but you'll also have a body that's more immune functioning, so that if you do happen to get the virus, your outcome is gonna be much better. So,
I agree. Let me ask you this, Cheryl, because I definitely relate with you as far as the up and downs, as far as how COVID affected us emotionally. I talk about when I launched this show on the 30th of March, 2020, and 30 days prior to launching the show, after I finished my run for Long Beach City Council, because I always tell people they wouldn't give me city council, so I took the round table. I knew that I had to get my mindset to, and my body and my health prepared to do the show. So I spent 30 days on a juice fast, intermittent fasting, plenty of water. Everything I ate was completely healthy. Then COVID happened and I was at McDonald's ordering mocha cafes with syrup and sugar. And it was like, I don't even drink those. I've never really drank those, but I needed something at that moment to make me feel better. So then I went from complete, you know, better health to sugary diets. And then my next cycle was me going, Sharifa, you can't maintain this. This is not healthy. And then I kind of had to balance it out. And now I don't even crave those things. It was my emotions and what I was going through mentally that made me want to have those things. But also, I want to ask you a question about keto. I was reading something, and I think it was the top 10 diets that work, and keto was not on the list. And the article went on to say that one of the reasons that keto was not on the list was because it is not sustainable. What are your thoughts?
Oh, girl, let me just
a wedding and you want to be the bride, like you can drop a lot of weight, but you can't do it forever.
I've been doing it for 5 years. I don't know how long they want you to say you're doing it before it's sustainable. And I know plenty of people, there's a huge keto community on Instagram, plenty of people there. And actually all these people that I'm having on my podcast have done keto long-term. I think, again, this is kind of from the old thinking and the old nutrition. They think it's not sustainable because they just don't think that people are willing to give up all that stuff. When, if you focus on it from a health perspective and not a weight loss perspective, think about how we evolved to eat. We would never had like bags of sugar hanging around that we could get anytime. We never had, you know, loaves of bread or even wheat and grains. That's all a very much recent evolutionary thing that our bodies aren't designed to deal with. And so just because, you know, now we have access to all this stuff all the time, are we really just going to say, well, the people have access to it, they can't say no, they don't know? I don't believe that. People are stronger than that. People are more interested in their health than that. Once they know the truth, once they can see, and especially I think COVID may help bring this to light, actually, is because once people see like all these metabolic diseases that are a product of way too much sugar and way too much processed food are affecting people's immune system negatively, maybe that'll finally be enough for the people that are in charge to start saying, you know what, you're right, we shouldn't be eating all this sugar, we shouldn't be eating all this garbage. Just because it's normal in our society doesn't mean that we should let it go on. That'd be like saying, let's let some systemic racism go on. Let's let any of these things, like once you see it, you can't unsee it, right? So it's just a matter, I think, of time. And I don't know what they say, I get to eat butter, I get to eat meat, I get to eat cream, I get to eat all these things. I've been through all the diets. I grew up in the 90s as a teenager. It's like low fat, everything, right? Did that for years, low fat, everything. And then I was a vegetarian for 7 years, did that for a long time. Don't tell me things aren't sustainable. It's a mindset. You gotta like understand what's important in your life. Once your health is a priority, then it makes it a lot easier to make the choices that are necessary. I'm not saying it's easy, but it is like, I think, kind of a cop out to just say, well, oh, well, people can't do it because it's not sustainable. I don't buy it.
Well, let's see. Dawn, do you buy it?
Well, I'm kind of the wrong person to ask because I have done keto for many, many years also. I'm like you, Sharifa. I kind of fell off the wagon last March and I'm trying to get back on the wagon. But I've been a pescatarian since I was 17 years old. I'm 50 now. And so, and then I found out I was gluten intolerant about 14 years ago. So I'm kind of the wrong person to ask, but I think it's about thresholds, right? And so some people are like, I can't eat that way. Well, I don't know if you, maybe you just haven't tried it. And then if you don't, I mean, if you have pain with it, then if you associate a particular food, like in my case, anything that has flour or wheat in it gives me, like I'm doubled over with abdominal pain. And that just happened in my late 30s. And so if you associate certain foods with pain, then you will figure out a way to accommodate your diet overall specific to that. And so, so like I said, Sharifa, I'm just a little bit, but that kind of brings to bear the question. I want to kind of go back to what Keith was saying also in terms of the need for masks, the needs for still for social distance and whatnot. I think if anything, what I've been saying, and I've been, because I have a vlog also, is what I've learned in this process is that we all have thresholds, right? And so in my opinion, this isn't a civil liberty thing. This is a humanity thing. And so it's about respecting people for the thresholds. You want to go out and have, you know, and be as free willing as you were before the pandemic hit. That's fine with you, but also respect me for the position that I am in right now. And I think it's all about respect and respecting people for the choices that they make ultimately at the end of the day.
Absolutely, Keith. I'd love to hear your thoughts.
Oh, I love that. I love that. I want to start with Creative Cheryl when she was talking about the nutrition and things of that nature. And I do know for me, I am guilty of that. I'm guilty of one who eats the processed foods and which is even more detrimental during the pandemic because, you know, I couldn't be as active at the onset. And so I did gain some weight. I did have some weight gain and it did make me sluggish. And as we pressed forward and started changing the eating habits, I found that when I eat healthier, I perform better, that I feel better, that my attitude is better, my outlook is better. You know, my outlook is better, my output is better, and my outcome is better. And so now I'm just drinking a lot of the waters. My wife and I, we're doing a lot of the walking, you know, in the parks, and which leads me to what Diligent Dawn said. My wife and I, we're walking in the park and we have on our masks. And then here comes individuals with no mask on. And now we have to now switch our route. You know, we have to switch the route, you know, and it's bad enough that you don't have on a mask. Don't speak verbally, just wave. You know, I'm just like, don't open your mouth, okay? Just wave. And then, you know, it's like people are walking and they want to have conversations. And that leads me to believe that people don't realize how serious it is. Whether it be the nutrition, how serious that is, how your nutrition is tied to so many illnesses and things of that nature. And then not wearing a mask, not being socially distanced, not paying attention to the science of it all of that leads me to believe that we have to become more serious as a society. We have to become more serious. We have to be more cognizant. You know, everyone is caught up in reality television, and that's fine. But the reality is we had better start paying attention. We had better start paying attention to the science and all of the information that's coming out. I'm not even falling prey to the conspiracy theories because I know that over 400,000 Americans have died in millions globally. And so it is very important that we eat right. It is very important that we stay masked up, that we are socially distanced. And the key word that Diligent Dawn said was respect. If you don't want to wear a mask, that's fine. That's fine. If you want to go out into large crowds and do those things, that's fine. But do respect your fellow human beings. And so I'm all for that. It goes back to being born human, but then living humane. And so we all have to definitely live humane. But I will say that when I eat healthy, I feel better. My attitude is better, which then makes me a better individual as I empower others. And that at the end of the day, that's what it's about. As a servant leader, I have to take great care of myself because my purpose is tied to the destiny of others. And let me say this, self-care is important. We hear about self-care every day. And I believe that self-care is engaging in those activities that give you peace of mind and peace of spirit. But Sharifa, I want to talk about self-eye care, leading Leslie. And I'm going to say this to leading Leslie. I love the way she talks to herself. And that's what I coined that term, self-eye care. When you look in that mirror every day and you tell yourself that you are valuable, you tell yourself that you are worth it. And guess what? You tell yourself that you're going to take care of yourself with no apologies and no feelings of guilt. Because I can almost bet that everyone on this purposeful panel today, even when we take good care of ourselves, sometimes we feel guilty because we're givers and we're so used to giving to other people that when we take time out for ourselves, we feel guilty. I tell my wife, she'll finish a long day virtual learning, right? Being the leader that she is, the compassionate leader. And then she falls asleep in her chair. And then she'll wake up late at night and say, wow, I had a good nap. And I'm like, but that's not self-eye care. Because you fell asleep because you were exhausted. So you weren't intentional about going to sleep. And so now she's more intentional about that and taking care of herself. And I'm the only man on the panel, so I can say, I know this is true for women, because I would just say, you are just more nurturing. Men, we're nurturing, we're loving, but I believe you all are just innate, just more nurturing. And so I'm gonna tell your listeners out there and your viewers, all right? Don't feel guilty about taking care of yourself. Don't apologize for not allowing toxic people in your space. Stop apologizing for that, because self-care is important, but self-eye care is so very much more important than self-care, because then that's when you validate your right to be taken care of, and it goes back to what you deserve.
I think that is powerful, so I agree. Now, is that a COVID beard?
Well, you know it is. You already know it is, because listen, if I take my hat off, right, my hair is dark. And so my beard, we call this the silverback. You know, the young people always say, Mr. Impossible, you getting that beard? I say, yeah, but don't get it twisted, y'all. I'm still lit. And you know, with the young people, they love that term lit. So I tell them lit stands for leaders in training, leaders in training. And so I do that too. They were teasing me on Twitter. I'm at Keith L. Brown 1911 on Twitter. And they were just talking about the fact that the beard, and they said, man, you're looking like Cedric the Entertainer. You know, and I hear that every day, right? So I thought you were Cedric, but he doesn't have a beard. But I'm like, yes, this is definitely the COVID beard. But you know what? I love it. So I've decided that I'm going to keep it. So I love it. And you know, yeah. So this is
definitely the COVID beard. It looks nice. Yeah. Pretty sharp.
Well, thank you. I'm going to rock with it.
Rock with it because I like it. Now we are coming down to the last few minutes of the show. And what I love to do at the end of every show is just simply allow my guests the opportunity to speak directly to the audience, to everyone who is watching the show live, as well as everyone who is watching it in the archives, and let them know what you want them to take away from your appearance here today. And we're going to start with you, Leslie.
Oh man, there is so much I could say, from making sure your mental health is in check to making sure your physical health is in check. But what I want to do is I want to tell you to give yourself permission to have grace, and know that you don't have to be perfect in anything, that you are the best version of you there is. And that is all you have to do, is show up and be you. Nobody has to be perfect. You know, I'm paleo, but I will tell you what, I'm sitting here drinking my Coke because I need it, because I'm not perfect yet. But you know, That's the deal of it, is we've got to give each other grace and allow us to be human. And we forget to do that so often.
Yes. So if someone has forgotten that and they need someone to talk to, can they contact peerhopes.com?
Yes, they can. Come to peerhopes.com. We'll be glad to work with you. We do 15-minute free consultations, so you can just find out what it's about. And now on Fridays at 12 Central, you can go on there and you can have lunch with Leslie, and I will answer any of your questions. It's free for that hour. So come find out what peer support's about and how somebody who's lived through it can work with you to live through it too.
All the ups and downs and merry-go-rounds. Thank you, Leslie. Cheryl, what do you have for us?
Well, first, I just want to thank Keith and Dawn and Leslie and you, Sharifa, for I've learned so much today, and I love how each of the guests in their own ways are also very passionate about health, whether it's mental health or physical health, or helping, you know, someone who is immune compromised get the proper food, and inspiring young people and all kinds of people with your words. I think, Keith, have just been so like powerful to me today. And for what I would like people to take away is, as Leslie said, you don't need to be perfect, but also don't just let yourself off the hook, right? Like, it's just making yourself 1% better every day. So if that's skipping your Coke for that day, or maybe it's deciding, hey, I'm gonna use zucchini noodles under my pasta dish tonight instead of traditional noodles. It can be small things. And all of my work that I do, I have several articles about habits and how to make changes in life. And you can, you know, find all this at healnourishgrow.com, or find me on all the social channels as Heal Nourish Grow. But just making those small little steps every single day just to be 1% better. And it all builds up over time. And in fact, the best way to really make lasting change in your life is to start small. It's not to have this thing like, I'm gonna write a book, which is a big, giant, crazy goal, right? But you've gotta, at the end of the day, have done something small each and every day to lead up to that greater result that you're looking for, whether it's better mental health, better physical health, weight loss, diabetes control, whatever it is. It's just, you've gotta start somewhere. And so start small, and don't think that you have to be perfect. I think that was an excellent point that Leslie made, and just hope everybody has a wonderful rest of their day.
Thank you. But no, I definitely agree. And you mentioned zucchini. My mom started making zucchetti, and I was like, Mom, what the heck is that? I am not eating that. And my mom was like, try it. And so then I tried it. I was like, Mom, can you make me some more zucchetti?
It's actually delicious. It really is. I prefer it.
I love it. Thank you, Cheryl. Dawn, what do you have for us?
Thank you, Sharifa. I'd like to kind of echo what Cheryl said also. This is my second time being on your panel, and I really love your Round Talk show. So I just appreciate the opportunity of sitting and visiting with you all today. Just a quick, you know, I don't want to pile on to some of the thoughts, but we do need to embrace the armoring that we have. We all come out of the womb with our own specific wiring. Clifton Strengths tells us that we need to embrace them. That's only how we build our strengths, is becoming like a muscle, is enhancing it and encouraging it and getting passionate about it overall. And so if anyone is interested in learning more about Clifton Strengths, I welcome the opportunity to talk to them. I actually do write a vlog every week. Little did I know, kind of similar to what Cheryl was saying, little did I know, 4 years ago when I started writing it, that I would ultimately, it was preparing me to write my book. And so it was not intentional. It's kind of following the breadcrumbs along the way. But if anyone is interested, you can follow me on all the different social media channels on Authenticity, and that's instead of a C, it's a Z. And then my other website is dawnflandry.com. I just appreciate the opportunity. Thank you so much, Sharifa.
You are so welcome. I appreciate you being here. Please feel free to come back anytime. Keith, what a great show. We didn't even have the opportunity. You are such a huge honor, Presidential Lifetime Achievement Award, and we didn't even get to talk about it.
Well, it's just for my servant leadership. I was awarded that in November of 2016 at the Georgia Capitol by President Barack Obama. And so I'm just so thankful. Thank you so much to have received that for my volunteerism and servant leadership over the course of 3 decades. And so that was very significant for me in my life. And it's all about being a servant leader. And as a servant leader, I do have to shout out my team before we leave. A couple of my team members, once again, Keon J. Brown, who's a director of policy in the Georgia Senate. My son works very closely with my mission and our program, Fathers, F-A-T-H-E-R-S, not Father, F-A-R-T-H-E-R. Hope to come back and talk about the Fathers, Not Father program. And then Miss Michaela Green, the owner and operator of Green Screen Productions. She's on with her team viewing us today. So she's on. My lovely wife, Dr. Wakia Brown, who's a principal in the Metro Atlanta School District. And of course, Adrian Alexander Allen, my prolific publicist, and so who I could not do any of this without. And so if anyone wants to reach me, of course, you can email me at Adrian, A-D-R-I-E-N-N-E, Adrian at the IPY agency. ipyagency.com, Adrian@theipyagency.com for any bookings. Also, once again, Keith L. Brown underscore on Instagram, KeithLBrown1911 on Twitter, and KeithLBrown1911 and Mr. I'm Possible on Facebook. And then the website is KeithLBrown.com. So I want to leave your listeners, your viewers with this. Protect your peace. At the end of the day, when you protect your P-E-A-C-E, you will not fall to P-I-E-C-E-S. When you protect your peace, you will not fall to pieces. So don't apologize. Protect your peace. I tell pupils around the world that, educators, corporate leaders, entertainment industry, everyone, protect your peace. And every day you wake up and your feet hit the floor. When my feet hit the floor, I thank the creator first for waking me up. But after that, I start clapping. And I'm going to encourage you all, when your feet hit the floor, start clapping, because it might be the only standing ovation you receive all day. So you can ensure that you get a standing ovation every day. And remember, not impossible, I'm possible, and talk is expensive. KeithLBrown.com, talk is expensive. Senator Hardy, thank you for the opportunity.
You are so welcome. We're going to talk about that. We're going to need your help and support to get there. So definitely let's talk. Send me an email. Let's make this happen, because I would love your views and your thoughts. I want to thank you all for being a guest on today's episode of the Roundtable Talk Show. And I especially want to thank everyone who tuned in to watch the show live, as well as everyone who watched it in the archives. Just because you didn't catch the live show doesn't mean you're not important. You are so important to us. We still need your help. We still need your support. We still need you to go ahead and share the show, whether you're watching it 2 years from now, 2 weeks from now, 2 months from now, 8 months from now. It really doesn't matter. Please support our guests. Visit their websites. The link is in the Facebook post. And I always ask, contact with them, follow them on social media, reach out to them, send them a message, send them an email. And when you do, please let them know Sharifa Hardy says hi. Now, if you're interested in more ways that I can help your business, or maybe you want to be a guest on the Roundtable Talk Show, please visit my website at asksharifa.com. Until tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. Pacific, everyone have a safe and a blessed day. Bye now.